now reconvened. We're dealing with CL2, and Mr. Purvis is going to make the presentation, and afterwards we have two speakers, an objector and a town council member. Mr. Purvis.
Thank you, Chairman. This is the second application submitted on this site within the last year. I propose a development of up to 80 dwellings on a site opposite the cemetery to the north of Burnham. This is an outline application for the principal development and access for determination. Some slides to show you in terms of the proposal, and this one shows you the site in terms of its context to Burnham and the wider area. More zoomed in terms of the location plan with the cemetery to the east. The main gaps, manor up here, and this is where the wedding venue is, which is referred to in the report. Some spread of development on Mangaps Chase and the bulk of the residential properties to the south. This aerial photo shows that a bit more clearly. And here's some photographs to show the site, which is, as you can see, an agricultural field. The field access, this access is from the eastern part of the site on Southminster Road. And there is in the top left corner, and that is Southminster Road. With this area here before the unrestricted national limit, part of the 30 mile an hour speed limit in terms of the residential area of North Burnham. And those properties on the top and on the bottom are located in Beauchamps, which is the nearest road, with some of those properties, as you can see, backing onto the site. These properties are located in Mangaps Chase, some more rural character, as you can see from the photos. There are some residential properties there already. And this photo shows the public footpath that goes along the northern boundary of the site, with the top right showing the tree-covered public right-of-way, and the bottom left the gates to the cemetery, which doesn't form the main access to the cemetery. Manor, as I mentioned, is located to the north, and there's some photographs to show that site in terms of the access into that site. Now, those accesses for determination of this application, this plan is from the first application, which is currently subject to an appeal. And as you can see from the access, is shown here opposite the cemetery. The current application shows a similar access. It's marginally moved slightly to the south to address the highways issues from the previous application. And this plan shows the potential for a link to Mangaps Chase for pedestrian cycle. This concept plan shows how the site could be developed. There'll be some more plans in a moment, but this shows the entrance to the site, potential piece of land for reserved for a shop. This is where the residential areas would be, and then we've got local public open amenity spaces in the southeast and southwest corner of the site. And this is an illustrative master plan, so showing how the development could be laid out. And you'll note there's properties nearest the northern boundary here. That's the existing there's an existing hedgerow part on the site there, but that footpath one is this part up here. This is a perspective view, three-dimensional. And that shows potential noise barrier that the applicant's looking at to try and address some of the concerns. Now, if I turn to the assessment of the application, as I mentioned, there was a previous application on this site, and that first application was refused by this council in January this year for four reasons of refusal. Noise impact, the impact upon primary school infrastructure, and two highway safety reasons. Through the application, the education and highway reasons have been addressed. It's identified there are now currently spaces within the primary school infrastructure, and this update position has changed since January and follows work from the local development plan examination in public, where the inspector required further work to be looked into in terms of the education position, and a joint education position statement was produced and now identifies that there's more capacity than there was in January in the primary school infrastructure. In terms of the highways, position, the revised access, further highway assessment has been undertaken, and there is a proposed reduction in speed limits along this part of the road to 40 miles an hour, which would have to be part of a traffic regulation order, and that's separate and outside of the planning application limit. So the main issue that remains is the noise impacts. This is a result of the impact of the wedding venue located to the north of the site, which occupies part of the building, but there's a marquee that's erected for 6 months of the year within this site. Cars also park in the car park area to the south, which is close to the boundary of the site. It is the marquee and the parking areas that give rise to noise concerns in terms of the existing situation, in fact, because Environment Health have advised there have been previous noise complaints of people in Beauchamp's properties here from the marquees, noise, disco, bands playing, etc. So by introducing residential development here, we're introducing a situation for future residents whereby they could be subject to noise levels upon those residents' properties, use of the back gardens and potentially even the houses as a result of noise from that site, and also from people coming and going, disturbance from traffic using the car park area. The applicant has tried to address this and the sound noise assessment, and additional information has provided through the course of the application. This is a noise barrier that's being looked at within the site to try and address the issues. So what we've got here is a mound of earth and then a 1.5 metre high acoustic barrier. Not quite sure if that would be a fence or a wall or something, but it's certainly shown as a barrier or for some form of boundary treatment. This information has been considered, and there's also been some information that's been circulated amongst members before this committee, but that information wasn't received in time for the members' updates, so can't be considered through this application process. In terms of the overall noise assessment, the Environmental Health Officer has looked at this and can advise in a moment in terms of the application if necessary. But before that, I'll just come on to some of the other considerations with this application. And since January, the Council can now demonstrate a five-year housing land supply. That position has come about since July in terms of further studies and work in looking to the existing commitments in terms of planning permissions and commitments in terms of the new local plan sites as well. So this five-year housing land supply position strengthens the Council's position. And this site is outside the settlement boundary of Burnham, and obviously the concerns of the noise is not considered necessary for developing this site for housing. When you apply the planning balance, the adverse impact of the noise impact of the development outweighs the benefits in this instance. There has been something received, again this unfortunately missed the members' update, in terms of affordable housing mix, which would be dealt with separately for a legal agreement in terms of Section 106 negotiations, but the housing officer has identified that the housing mix for the affordable housing does not meet the requirements of strategic housing market assessment, and therefore has concerns over that. But as I say, this is something that's normally discussed and negotiated through the legal agreement process if it were to be approved, and can also be considered through the appeal process to the current appeal to the first application. The other material considerations have been determined to be acceptable, but for the noise and the five-year housing land supply position, the application is recommended for refusal.
Chairman, would you like the Environmental Health Officer to speak about the application in a bit more detail before
handing it back?
Mr. Cornish.
Thank you, Mr. Cornish. Thank you, Chairman. Okay, there's two concerns really over noise, and that's one to the future occupants of the house, but also to the existing business and its ability to continue to operate and possibly expand in the future, which would be something that the MPPF in paragraph 123, bullet point 3, does not want to see, as inhibit the ability of businesses to continue for introducing noise-sensitive dwellings near to those businesses. The noise assessment was undertaken over a 16-day period. There were some wedding events during that period, but the data obtained was unattended, so we don't know what the weather conditions were during that noise assessment, where they've taken their background noise readings to try and assess what the noise conditions are like in the absence of the wedding venue. And a small bit of research on the internet has found actually 12 of those days were outside the parameters in which you should measure noise. So they've used 16 days of noise data to show that the background is, I believe, 36 decibels. In reality, it's likely to be a lot less, because most of those days were experiencing wind gusts up to 40 miles per hour, as well as 3 inches of rain on a couple of days as well. So I've got concerns over the data that was used. I've also averaged the noise to determine how loud the venue is at the monitoring location, which represents the gardens intended to be located on the boundary of Mangat Manor. This underestimates the actual noise, and using their own data, you can see that quite clearly. So I've got concerns over the actual noise assessment itself. The other point of concern with the noise assessment is the standards. There are no standards, off-the-shelf standard for a noise level from a music venue or a discotheque or a wedding venue such as the Marquee. The author has tried to look at different standards, and they do use a British standard, which I wholeheartedly disagree with its use. It's not appropriate for use with wedding noise. It's the one we would normally use for road traffic noise and regular sort of permanently installed industrial centres. Other guidance that they've chosen to use would be the venues for concerts. It's environmental noise control from concert guidance. They've picked a level of 5 dB above background as being appropriate, which is based on 30 event, or up to and about, it's a poorly worded bit of guidance, but it's up to 30 events a year. Mangat Manor has a 6-month restriction on its use, which is the summer period, the most noise-sensitive period for the intended occupants. And it has no restriction of 30 events within that 6-month period. And the guidance being quoted actually refers to venues that have 30 events over a year rather than just in a short period. So using this guidance would not only make an assumption that restricts the number of events at the venue to assess whether amenity would be affected, I'd also question its usefulness or its accuracy in being used. The second assumption made is that they've taken some noise readings at a nearby dwelling, existing dwelling, and suggested that could be the standard to be used, because licensing provisions may or should provide control over a nuisance. Nuisance is a much lower standard than amenity, and we should be considering amenity at the planning stage to ensure that the future residents and the business are able to exist happily together, really, without there being any need for intervention from environmental health, and to ensure that the future occupants have good living conditions as the MPPF intends, really. The only way they can meet the guidance that they themselves wish to use is to suggest perhaps closing windows as well, which doesn't help in the garden, and it doesn't really fully address the potential disturbance by at the end of the night at 11:30 to midnight when people are getting into coaches, taxis, literally over the back fence of the proposed dwellings, which not all noise can be assessed by using a number. Certain noises have characteristics and natures which make them more annoying, such as closing car doors, drunken, just people having a laugh. Not anything wrong, but maybe at the end of the night, just talking loudly, maybe singing, shouting goodbye to their friends and the newlywed couple, maybe. This hasn't been properly taken into account. They've just used numbers without fully assessing the nature and character of certain elements of the operation. That'll include the actual music noise, because certain wedding, certain married couples would want different music at their events. That's not been fully assessed. They've just taken a random event and said that's typical of every event at the venue. I think our own experiences in investigating noise complaints for these type of venues shows that not one night is necessarily the same, and actually the noise levels could be very similar, but the nature of a noise, maybe a heavy bass beat, continuous repetitive type music, would be more annoying maybe than something a bit more rock and rolly from a few years back. So I have concerns really that they cannot, a condition couldn't properly satisfy our concerns for both the future residents and the continued operation of that business. I think that's probably probably sums up the report where there's a bit more detail.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cornish. Any questions for Mr. Cornish? Councillor Luca.
Thank you. A very brief question, Mr. Cornish, and I have declared an interest because I do know one of the objectors who happens to be the operator of this site. But I know several of the residents in Beauchamps, and one of the problems they have to contend with is the noise and the pollution from Mangapps Railway Museum, which is right there, and you can see where, just to the north of the site, the railway line's there. And people in Beauchamps moan about the smoke and pollution on their washing, the sound of the railway trains chuffing up and down. The children love them. But I know the residents there, and particularly the residents who live in Old Vicarage, have been trying to close it down for donkey's years. And this is something that we've not touched on. And I think that we owe it to those people who potentially might buy a house on this development to look at that quite closely, Chairman. And I hope Mr. Cornish takes that on board.
Yeah, very quickly, please.
We haven't had any complaints in recent years, certainly since I've been with the council, regarding the operational railway. It was raised under the original application, and the noise assessment has assessed the noise from the railway. We've had to take the information they've given to us at face value in the absence of any contrary data, and they have demonstrated that it shouldn't be an issue in terms of amenity. We can't contradict what they've given us as noise readings and evidence. But it was raised initially, the noise assessment has given data that we wouldn't object to as a ground of refusal, really, in this case.
Thank you very much. Right. Any other questions? Oh, yes, indeed. I always forget the speakers. Right. Can I ask Ian Sisterson of 87 Malden Road, who's an objector, to come to the microphone, please? And if you could make yourself comfortable.
Chairman, is there anything we should say? I'd like to sit.
Yes, of course you sit. Yes.
Thank you.
And good evening. Bert, the time is up. You have 2 minutes from when you start speaking.
Good evening, Chairman and Councillors. At the moment, our proposed Burnham Crouch neighbourhood plan is based on the three preferred strategically allocated sites as per the LDP. These three sites give us a potential development of 450 dwellings planned for the town over the next 15 years. The Gladman development application for 80 dwellings plus the land allocated for the provision of local shop off Southminster Road to the north of our town does not feature as one of our preferred sites. I see this development being yet another purely speculative and opportune one, and I ask you that you reject this application, particularly as NDC can clearly now show a land supply well in excess of 5 years. Finally, in my opinion, because of the education restraints in Burnham, it is not acceptable to bus primary school children to other primary schools at public expense. Thank you for allowing me the time this evening.
Thank you very much. Councillor Tanya Ward, please, of the Burnham Long Crouch Town Council. If you'd rather sit, I don't mind if you sit. It's whichever you like.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, District Councillors, Burnham Town Council is in general agreement with the concerns and views expressed by our residents with regards to this matter. The proposal does not comply with the emerging Malden District Local Development Plan. Neither does it comply with our emerging Burnham and Crouch Neighbourhood Plan. As you've heard, this is set upon an area of land that is not identified as a strategic site for development within Burnham and Crouch. It has been noticed that Environmental Health continue to advise of the noise impact upon the site, given its near proximity to both Mangapp Railway Museum and the wedding venue at Mangapp Manor, which provides a potential for adverse impacts upon the quality of life for future occupants due to excessive noise levels, as well as creating unreasonable restrictions on Mangapp Manor wanting to develop in continuance of their pre-existing business. Burnham Town Councillors and residents acknowledge the need for new housing in the town. However, it is believed that this particular site is entirely unsuitable for the development being proposed. And as the district now has a 5-year land supply, there is no requirement at the present time to develop this area of land, or indeed any other additional land, on top of the 3 strategic development sites already identified. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the views of Burnham Town Council.
Thank you very much indeed.
Are we going to this or are we going to amend?
Right, Councillor Mrs. Chandler, as Chairman of P&L, can I indulge upon you again to make open the debate, please, on this one? Thank you very much.
I thought you said that there was somebody representing the applicant. Was I
no, right? The two objectors, that's all there is, yeah. Councillor Mrs. Chandler, please. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Chairman. I mean, I think the officer's made it quite clear. There's been a previous proposal which was refused. We've now got this second proposal come forward. It's outside of the development boundary, and there's policies quite clearly that can be applied to cover that limit. There's also issues about the effect it will have, but largely where the major interest in this application appears to be the noise, and we can see conclusively from the report and also what we've heard tonight from Mr. Cornish, I think we can all be clear on that, the noise element, and that's very much reflected in the two reasons of refusal that lay before members tonight that have been circulated, not the one on the order paper, Chairman. It's not a strategic site that's been allocated in the LDP, and we know full well that we do now have a 5-year land supply, so there really is no need for this site to be developed, especially with the issues that are just highlighted and have been highlighted by officers throughout their presentations. I would just like to say something, Chairman. Obviously, you know, having read the report, heard the presentations, what I've just said in summary, I agree with the reasons of refusal that going for members on tonight, but I would just like to say something. I mean, when we quote the MPPF, I think it might be useful perhaps to highlight the elements of the MPPF we're talking to. And I would just like clarification on something, because we do, in reasons of refusal, refer to some of our replacement plan policies. However, those that we haven't, and I know they're covered by the weight we now apply to the LDP policies, such as I say to that. But, I mean, 7.1.4 of the report is very specific in terms of the Moving District Replacement Local Plan and defines various policies within that that it... I read it that could be utilised as well, but I don't see them reflected in the two reasons of refusal before members tonight. So I'd just like clarification on that, Chairman, because obviously 7.1.4 is quite clear and specific to me, and I'm not sure why that's not necessarily reflected within the reasons of refusal. So like that. I really don't know that I want to labour much more, Chairman, because I don't want to go repeating what everyone else has said. I don't think there's a necessity for that. And I think we've heard clearly from the objectors their viewpoints, and I'm not going to repeat what they've said, because they are fundamental sound statements that have been made. Mm-hmm. So, Chairman, I really can't say anything other than outside the development boundary, the noise issues. We have the 5-year housing land supply. It's not a strategic allocated site within the LDP. No reason for this development, and certainly the noise is the issue that really holds great weight, I consider, for these recommendations recommendations of refusal with the two reasons, subject to, I would like clarification on the points I raised about the MPPF and 7.1.4, where our replacement plan policies are identified.
With those caveats, is there a seconder to that? Councillor Putney, do you just want to confirm that we can add those numbers, please,
Mr. Chairman. In terms of the MPPF, WEC on our reasons of refusal, we'd usually just refer to the MPPF rather than quoting paragraphs, and that's really to kind of leave it a bit more open when it comes to writing appeal statements. But having said that, we can pinpoint it down to the relevant paragraphs of the MPPF, and for reason one, the relevant paragraph is paragraph 123 of the MPPF, and we can include that text within that reason of refusal.
I'm sorry, that's what Mr. Cornish did actually mention in his delivery.
Yeah.
Councillor Putney.
Sorry.
Just finishing. In terms of the reason two, that would be paragraph 7 and 14 of the MPPF. And in terms of your question regarding the replacement local plan policies, you're quite right. Policies S2 and H1 can be included in that second reason of refusal.
Well done. Thank you.
Well, Chairman, I would very like that much to be the case.
Thank you. Thank you very much for following that, Mrs. Chanak. Now, Councillor Pudney.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, as ward member, I would like to just say I've read the report quite thoroughly. I've listened to all of the members who have spoken, and I thoroughly agree with what they said. I didn't bother reiterating what they said because, you know, it wastes time. But I thoroughly agree with what everybody has said. I do have a lot of concerns about this, and I propose to that we accept the officer's recommendation for refusal.
Thank you. Councillor Blucher.
Thanks, Chairman. Just briefly, I'd like to take the members back to the appeal decision, which was Gladman Developments versus Northern District Council at Newmore Farm, which is referred to tonight under paragraph 7.7.5 as Cripplegate. That application, Chairman, was a recommendation for approval by the officers. The members actually refused the application on what could principally say subjective reasons. Now, the subjective reason principally was protection of Pendle Wood, traffic which got discounted, and the preservation of the edge of the village. Now, I've read this report, and I was horrified tonight. Perhaps if Mr. Purvis could just go back through the screen and could actually show where we've got this bund with a noise attenuation fence on the top. I mean, that is doing absolutely nothing to protect the rural edge of the village. And I think that that's what we need to do here. This is coming into Burnham. You've got Beauchamps, which doesn't look very good. You've got all the fences there. You'll have all the paraphernalia in the back gardens of these properties. And it will look an absolute eyesore as you poach the village. More so with this bund, more so with the fence on the post. And all of that said, Chairman, I hope the members would consider, if not agree with me, that there should be an additional reason refusal. Based on that, the inspector in the appeal at Newmore Farm went with it and agreed that we need to protect the edge of our villages. And this application isn't awful, not different to that. The edge isn't protective at anything. It's worsened by this hill. So I would propose, Chairman, and I'll give way to the knowledge of the officers, but I would ask that we should add, I think, policy CC6 to the list of reasons for refusal. Thank you, Chairman.
Burvis, can we add that? As per the member's request.
Chairman, in terms of the noise bund, we requested this information because of obviously the concerns over noise, and the applicants were saying there was a way forward to address this, and this was sent in. This is only an indicative section, so it's not it's not definitive in terms of it just shows you what could happen in terms of addressing the noise situation, but our view is it doesn't address the noise issue, as Mr. Cornish has explained. We don't consider it being an issue that would warrant grounds for an additional reason of refusal, though. Such matters, bear in mind, this is an outline application. We don't have the details of the layout before us, and that may be something that would be considered for the reserve matters in terms of the bund, and if this was an issue, how that would relate to the site and the surroundings. So our view is that we would go with the suggested two reasons in the report.
Just very briefly, because perhaps I didn't put my point. It's all to do with the protecting of the rural edge of the village. Whether the bund is there or not, it makes no difference. You will still have all this paraphernalia associated with the new development as you come into the village. The power inspector at Newmore said quite clearly we should protect our boundaries. Whether that bund is there or not doesn't make any difference. We have a responsibility to protect the rural edge of our villages.
I think Councillor Fluker, that the officers made it clear that we can't do that sort of thing in an outline application. If we get it, this is one of the problems with an outline application, that there is no clear there's no clear sign of where the houses are going to be. And I accept your proposal, but I think the problem is, we've argued this one before, that it can't be accepted with an outline application. And in point of fact, I was going to ask a similar question, which I'm sure I'll get the same answer, is that our housing officer has said that the indicative housing mix doesn't meet the schma. Now, I'd like to think we could use that as a reason of refusal, but you'll say we can't because it's an outline application. Is that correct?
Sorry, Chairman. In terms of the affordable housing, the affordable housing mix is something that would go through 106 agreement. Having looked at it, we think it's something that would be subject to negotiation with the applicant to try and address, because they've only got an indicative mix, because we don't know the layout at this stage, so we don't know the precise amount of development. The description says up to 80 dwellings, it could be less than 80 dwellings, so we're looking at a percentage terms in terms of the affordable mix, but that is something we'll deal with through the 106 rather than having it as a reason of refusal.
Okay. Councillor Fluker, I feel you haven't, you're not happy. Do you want to say anything else?
Well, Chairman,
I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm grateful. But I'm absolutely amazed. I accept this is an outline planning application, but at the end of the day, however this outline planning application looks when it comes back to this committee to be considered as a full one, by that stage we've lost the opportunity to protect the edge of the village. And I cannot believe that we cannot add that as a reason now. I really can't, Chairman. And if it is the case, then just for my own peace of mind, I hope this is well minted, because I really do think that we should object on CC6.
Yeah. I'll just ask Mr Cornish to come back for a minute, please. And then
thank you, Chairman. In terms of the landscape impact, which I think is probably what you're referring to, and in light of the Cripplegate decision, we've obviously looked at that, and that's been considered in the report. Section 7.7 deals with the landscape and visual impact assessment. There was a landscape and visual impact assessment produced and submitted to this application. The council's coast and countryside officer has looked at that, and she's a landscape architect. She's agreed with the overall conclusions of the landscape and visual impact report in terms of they're unlikely to be significant issues. And there are differences between this and the Cripplegate site, because there are existing properties around the edges of the site, albeit it's still a rural character. There are some dwellings here, and there's the cemetery here, whereas the Cripplegate site was more rural in terms of its surroundings, other than the southern boundary. And in terms of reason two, well, there is reference in terms of, if you look at the rural edge, with the site being outside of the defined development boundary, that is particularly mentioned in reason two in terms of the considerations in the sustainable development terms in regard to that reason. So we think we've covered, because it's outside the settlement boundary, an issue, your issue, your concern there in terms of that reason, rather than having it as a separate reason.
Councillor Pratt.
Chairman, thank you. Councillor Patton is absolutely right. It's not a strategic site. And my concern with these reasons for refusal is that we are laying open opportunities for the developer to make them good, to say, we can solve the newest problem, whether it's a band or whether it's something else. I believe this site is totally wrong. We talked about in the confidential part of this meeting, I believe the road is still unsafe. It's opposite a cemetery gate that is never used, and the reason it's not used, it's because it's unsafe to use the cemetery gate. Now, we've talked about primary education. Now, all these things can be solved, but I think we need a totally robust reason why we are turning this down, and that robust reason is the houses are not needed in this area, it's not a strategic site, and all the others, all the other bits, whether it's noise, whether it's primary education, whether it's safety on the highway, only reinforce that decision, but we refuse it. And I think, if everything around the room is correct, that we are in a position where we could take a vote and we could refuse his application. And I think purely the fact that it's not a strategic site, it's outside the LDP, it's not part of the neighbourhood plan, we could just refuse this, and I think that would be robust enough.
I think in point of fact we could actually, if we want to be pedantic, Councillor Pratt, we could reverse these and have reason two first rather than reason one, because I think it's the critical reason, which is the strategic, it's not in our strategic area, and that is the most robust issue, and we should perhaps have that first and then look at the issue of the adjoining business. Councillor Savage was next.
Thank you, Chairman. Refusal 1 that was in the original plan has been replaced by the update refusals 1 and 2. In principle, I have no problem, but I do have a problem with part of refusal. It's this sentence, the council can demonstrate a 5-year housing land supply.
Yeah.
But according to the special meeting that we had, and Mr. Jamieson was present, he said, because the LDP is called in, it's under different legislation, and the council might feel that it can demonstrate a 5-year housing land supply, given that it's been called in. But I would therefore suggest that either that sentence is removed or it's changed to the council feels it could demonstrate a 5-year housing land supply, but the ODB is included in. No. And the reason I say that, Chairman, is because I think with that sentence in here, this council is boldly going where no other council has gone before. And I have to say to you members that obviously voted for the LDP to go to the Secretary of State, how courageous you were.
I'll let Mr. Coleman answer that question, because it's quite clearly it's a concern of Councillor Savage's, but I'm sure it will be resolved.
Thank you, Chairman. I can confirm the council does have a 5-year land supply, and section 7.5 of the report clearly indicates what the current position of the council is. There has been a major change in the position of the council, as reflected in the 5-year land supply statement, which was published in July. This is because the council has made significant progress in terms of proactively encouraging applications in accordance with policy S2 of the LDP. And as a result of the council's proactive approach, by the end of March of this year, there were a total of 943 dwellings with extant planning permission. Significant progress has continued to be made since then. And regardless of the position of the LDP, the reality is that the council is making significant progress on planning and delivering for a significant increase in housing delivery. So can now afford more weight to these strategic allocations. So the council has included LDP strategic allocations where appropriate and the windfall allowance into the 5-year housing land supply calculation, which I fully endorse, and is a reflection of the work and the progress that's been made in bringing forward strategic sites. Thank you.
Very quickly, Councillor Savage, please.
Supplementary, please. Okay, fine, I accept what the officer has said. Could I therefore, through the chair, ask Mr. Jamieson to actually go through this other piece of legislation and say how it no longer applies?
Mr. Jamieson, can you help Councillor Savage? I'm not sure that you're helping him for the rest of the room, but...
Well, I'm not quite sure. Whether or not there's a 5-year land supply, first of all, the council's got a position. Its position is that there is a 5-year supply of housing land. It's set out in the report why there is. That will be tested on appeal, and an inspector will decide whether he agrees with that. That's what happens up and down the land. Councils go and say, we've got a 5-year supply. Inspector may agree or disagree. But quite clearly, and at the meeting that Councillor Savage is discussing, the members agreed that on the basis of the LDP and the sites that are coming forward under the LDP, where the council has resolved to grant planning permission for those sites, it can then demonstrate a 5-year supply of housing land. Now, where applications go to appeal, you're not fully master of your own destiny, because an inspector will decide. But in my view, the council's position is clear, which is that it goes to those appeals when they arise, quite clear in its evidence that it can demonstrate to an inspector that it's got a 5-year supply of housing land.
Thank you, Mr. Jamieson. Councillor Fluker, was this another issue? Because I think we've dealt with that issue.
Yeah. No, Chairman, I just want to say I did make a proposal earlier on, and I would just, as a matter of clarity, Mr. Purvis compared this site to the one at Newmore Crescent. It differs enormously. Newmore Crescent is built down one side, you've got industrial units at the other side, and the new road on the other. And the inspector still said we had to preserve it. Chairman, I guess I'm pushing it a bit, but I would just like one point of clarity. If we cannot add CC6 as an objection tonight, if this appeal is successful, or they come back, can we then, when they come back for a full planning application, having got outline planning permission, can we or not turn it down on CC6? Because I think we owe it to the people who live in Burnham.
Mr. Purvis.
Chairman, this is the second application, and obviously there's an appeal for the first one as well. The first application didn't include a reason of refusal on landscape, so that's something that will be considered. And Inspector, within their own rights, can reconsider all these points and may come up with a different view, even contrary to our reasons of refusal. But in terms of this second application, obviously we've to be consistent with the first, we're not suggesting a reason of refusal on landscape. And if there was, and if the reasons of refusal were to be addressed with this scheme, and I can't see how that can be in terms of the 5-year housing land supply position reason at the present time, but if they can address the noise issue, and they come back with an application, we wouldn't then be looking to refuse a third application on landscape issues if the previous two haven't been refused for that basis.
Councillor Mrs. Channon.
Chairman, thank you. I suppose it's going on this point a bit, and sorry, my memory may have gone tonight on this, so I do apologise. 77.4, the Country Coastal Officer has reviewed the landscape and visual impact appraisal, and I'm not going to read this all out, and his other view, several viewpoints are undervalued. Again, then, it says further information has been provided by the applicant in response to these comments, and any consultation response from the Countryside and Coast Officer will be reported in the members' update. Well, in my members' update, I haven't got that. However, the Countryside and Coast Office agrees with the overall conclusion that in the long term, the landscape and visual effects are unlikely to be significant. Well, what has the Countryside and Coast Office said to that further information? Because clearly, the first sentence indicates quite clearly there's undervalued points. All the information's come in, but we haven't really got Countryside and Coast Officer's views to that, only saying, however, in the long term. Well, I'm not sure that's entirely clear, and I think this might help Councillor Fluker from where he's coming from, if we can get some absolute clarity on this.
Thank you, Mr. Channon. I think that Mr. Purvis did mention the Countryside and Coast Officer's comment in his report.
I apologise, sir. I said my name.
Yeah. Something you raise outside this meeting, Councillor Blucher.
Chairman, in terms of this application, we don't have any further update from the Coast and Countryside Officer. My mention to that earlier was in regard to the first application we considered tonight, the Rick Hill application. So we don't have anything to report, but other than what's stated in that report, in the main report.
Thank you. I do apologise, Councillor. It was the first application where we had a report.
Thank you, Chairman. I apologise for standing before you called me. And that's my real concern, then, because clearly the Coast and Countryside Officer has raised concerns about several aspects, several viewpoints, and these are undervalued. And most notably, those close to the site, including use of the cemetery, and therefore there's no reference to nighttime effects or cumulative impacts. And I'm not sure that that's been really addressed.
That. Right, well, the officers haven't anything else to say about that. Anybody else want to speak on this before? We've got Councillor Savage, very quickly, please. We've got a proposal on the table and a second.
To back up Councillor Fluker's point that he raised, but it's been referred to as landscape, yet this bund and foliage is supposed to be an audio barrier. And there is an audio barrier at the bottom of Park Drive, like that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Right, thank you for that. Right, we have a proposal on the table. It's duly seconded that will you please show by hands, please?
All those extra points,
yes,
please.
With the additional items that Councillor Mrs. Channon added. Right, will you all please show?
Councillor Fluker had made a proposal which I'm happy to second that we include CC6. Are we not going to
vote on that either?
Well, the officers said don't go with it,
Yeah, can I just ask Mr. Jameson to come in?
Can I just try and help, Chairman? I think you're in a slightly different situation here in that you've already got one application which has been determined and it's gone to appeal, and it doesn't have this CC6 reason for refusal. But reasons for refusal in government guidance are meant to be full, complete and defensible by evidence. And it is inevitably going to be asked of the council, what has happened? Where has this additional reason for refusal come from on an identical application? And I think you're at risk of laying yourself open to an accusation of unreasonable behaviour when you've got additional reasons for refusal over an identical application which didn't have those reasons for refusal. That would be my caution to you about behaving inconsistently, which could be deemed to be unreasonable. Councillor Pratt.
It is not an identical application. There was a significant change in introducing an enormous bund down the whole length of the site. And I think Councillor Fluker is absolutely right by saying that this design change is inappropriate and unacceptable.
Once again, we've got this problem. It's indicative. This is the problem. We're dealing with an outline application. Right, now we've got some... Well, Councillor Fluker, if you've got a proposal to make, would you make it again?
Chairman, I propose that we do include CC6 and we have our day wherever that day might be. I hear what Mr. Jameson says, but I beg your pardon, Chairman. Everything is so fluid at the moment. We're getting mixed messages from the planning inspectorate. They say don't give any weight to the local development plan. We say we must. We're probably going to hear about one.
What is your proposal?
My proposal is, Chairman, that we do include CC6 and we have our day elsewhere. Thank you.
Right, you've heard that proposal, which has been seconded by Councillor Pratt. Will those in favour of including that thing please show? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Those against? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You all right, Tara? That is lost. Right, now we'll go back to the main proposal, standing in the name of Councillor Channa and seconded by Councillor Pudney, that the officer's recommendation be approved, subject to the addition of the numbers of the NPPF relevant that was raised. And Councillor Channa?
And those other policies, Chairman, that I identified in the paragraph that were referred to but not contained within the reason of refusal, which Mr. Purvis qualified could be included.
Okay. Everyone clear on that? Will you please show of hands, please? All those in favour. And that is carried. All those against, please. One against, everyone else in favour. Okay. Now, just before we go, we need to, and I claim your attention, we just need to jigger these reasons for refusal around a little bit, please. Can you just listen to Councillor Mr. Fenwick?
Well, yeah, but it's just how they're presented. Chairman, it's really a case of housekeeping. If you look at reason number two,
we're on the single sheet.
The reference to Murray's has been conflated with the reason relating to the settlement boundary and the strategic allocation. Mm. So no change is proposed to the wording, except if you take the wording on reason two as a result down to the end of that sentence, the NPPF, that should be lifted and put into the reason number one.
Yep.
And also from the words, consequently, that's the last sentence of that reason two, that should also go into reason one. Excuse me. Because at the moment, you've got Murray's actually mixed in with the settlement boundary, and then it should be standalone.
So item number two, reason number two, members, starts with the words, the site is located outside the defined settlement. Now, I did suggest earlier that we could put that one as the first reason, as it's the most important. Do you agree with that? Because it is the main reason, and the noise is a second reason. Now, is everyone clear on that before we go? Councillor, Mrs. Channa?
Could I just, consequently to that, perhaps Mr. Fenwick would be quite helpful in telling us clearly those extra policies that have gone in. Where are you applying those then, Mr. Fenwick?
They will be in the second part.
Those extra policies will be in the new part two.
Yeah. The new part two.
Yes.
Okay,
we'll pick up those points and then we'll be applying to the relevant section. Relating to the subject matter, Chairman, which is either the strategic housing land, five-year land supply, or the noise as appropriate. Thank you, Chairman.
Everyone happy with that? Thank you very much indeed for your attention. Thank
thank you for a very good debate, and can I thank our visiting officers from county and all the officers for attending tonight. Thank you very much. I close the meeting at 9:31.